Hello and welcome. I'm Richard from the Veg Grower Podcast, and this is episode 22. And it is the 17th of April 2014. I know it's been a few weeks since my last podcast again. I was on call, as I think I said, and had a headache, a migraine on the following weekend, and what have you. So we're back now. And things are certainly taking hold. Many plants being sown and potted on, etc., etc. But more about that later. So coming up today, okay, at home. So basically, it's been a lot of sowing going on. Recently, I've just sown some sweet corn and some popcorn and some quinoa indoors in a heated propagator. Over the last few months, I've obviously been sowing tomatoes and peppers and aubergines and chilies. Asparagus as well. These have all been sown indoors. There's in heated propagators. There's also been sweet peas, cucumber gherkins, strawberries, lots and lots of tomatoes, really, is the main thing I've been sowing this year. And they've been sowing indoors, and I've potted them on after they've germinated and stuff, and some of them actually outside in the cold frame. I've been sowing seeds in the cold frame as well. These are purple sprouting broccoli, and recently I've just sown some butternut squash. All seems to work quite happily. I've also sown some flowers to keep the missus happy. And they're all growing quite well. And actually, just outside, just on the ground, nothing done to them specially. I've sown some leeks and some parsley and some chives and some more peas and some beetroot. The peas and the broad bean. The beetroot and the peas have all germinated quite well. The leeks have just started germinating, as has the parsley, and the chives aren't showing much. I've also sown some Brussels sprouts outside, which I've had to pot on because they've grown so well, so I'm quite pleased with those. Talking of the cold frame, now, as you've probably heard me say before, I've got a cheap metal frame plastic thing in the garden. Well, that's now gone up the allotment, and I've got a wooden frame one. It just looks a bit nicer in the garden, really, and it's a bit on the bigger side. Came from a supermarket, Tesco's, and it cost me nothing because I used my club card vouchers. So that's doing quite well. I'm really happy with that. And that's been a really good investment, because now I've managed to get some out of the spare room and outside, and they're growing quite happily. I have actually just recently put a tomato plant outside to see how it does. The bottom leaves have withered, so it's only been out a couple of days and I didn't harden it off or anything. We'll see. It may be lucky. We'll see. The peach tree I bought recently, the flowers on that have now dropped and it's just now a tree. Hopefully they'll turn into peaches, so I'm just going to keep an eye on it. It's possible there wasn't enough insects around to germinate. So we'll see how that goes, really. The raised planter box, I've sown some spring onions, some radishes, some lettuce and some mustard in there, and all but the spring onions have all germinated really well, and the spring onions are actually just starting to germinate, so that's looking good. The apple trees and pear tree in the pots, they've put on a lot of leaf and they have grown really well. I'm really happy with those. The apple trees are actually starting to flower. So we'll see how they do. I'm sure they'll be good, though. So I think that's about it with what I've done at home. As I say, it's that time when things are just growing and it's just to keep an eye on them. So with that, let's go on to the allotment. Okay, so up the allotment, it's mostly been weeding. So I'm really working to get rid of all the weeds and stuff. Not easy, because as soon as you turn your back, they're growing, it feels like. But hey, that's the joys of it. I've been scattering more of the wood chip around to try to keep the paths clear and weed free. And I've cleared the old brassica bed now. That is completely clear. I've just got to clear all the weeds and cover it in chicken manure and compost. The area where the greenhouse was, I've now moved both the boxes there, including one that had the carrots in. I've picked all the carrots and moved it down. And there by the back. Then I've got another box. It was an old water container, really. I've filled that with compost and I've sown parsnips in there, which have actually sprouted and germinated. So as long as I keep watering, I'm happy with them. And one of the boxes that I covered with glass, I did sow some early carrots in there, but they haven't germinated, but I think they may have germinated and the snails have eaten them. It's just a theory, I can't prove it. It's possible they didn't germinate, but I don't believe that. And I'm not that worried, actually, because that clears that box ready for my sweet corn. I've lined some bricks between the boxes and the strawberry patch now, and I've just put some compost behind that to create another bed, which I'm probably going to have carrots in, just to start them off. One of the projects I've been doing recently is sinking a couple of posts in the ground in order to hang a hammock. Now, originally I'd done this in where the greenhouse was, but I did go as deep as I could get, but the soil down there was just so soft that any weight on it, it moved. So I've now had to put this in between the grapevines and the fruit fence, if you like. And that's worked quite well. I've tested it for about an hour when I should have been working. I just laid in a hammock up there. It's lovely. This was actually yesterday, and the weather was yesterday was so nice and so sunny. It was just nice lying in there. And then Doug above me, he saw my hammock, and it's given him the idea to do the same now. So I think I may have started a trend. But actually, it's a really nice idea, because it is nice to lie out and chill out somewhere and just relax. And a hammock, yeah, okay, if you sink two posts in the ground, unless you've got anything you can attach them to, apart from that, when not in use, it doesn't take up much space, because you just take it down and fold it away into a tiny little bag. So I actually think that's a really good idea, and I highly recommend it. The hammock I got just came off eBay. It's nothing special, but there are different ones out there. In fact, this weekend I'm going to camp up the allotment, and I'm actually going to sleep in a hammock, so I'll give a proper idea then. While I was putting this hammock, I noticed actually the tabry bushes, which have grown really well, but it's sent out runners, and this was in an area where I didn't want them, even sort of where the hammock is now. So I've dug them up. I had about five tabry bushes there, so quite a few. I've dug them up and I've put them in pots and compost. And I've brought them home just so I can keep an eye on them and keep them watered. And hopefully I'll get some more bushes out of them, which I'll keep. Probably keep some at home. I might give some a present. I don't know. Either way, I'm growing on more. Which, along with all the cuttings I've done at the allotment, which I have to say, we're all doing really quite well. It looks like I'm going to get a couple more apple trees out of it, some raspberries and some gooseberries. The gooseberries are actually doing exceptionally well, the gooseberry cuttings. Things I've noticed lately is that things are really coming into flower. Apple trees, the pear trees are really looking good, so I'm really happy with that. They're coming into flower, they're putting on leaf growth. In fact, the Jostaberry looks like it's producing some berries. I didn't even see it flower, but hey, I'm not complaining. Grape tree vines are springing into life. Rhubarb, I've started harvesting rhubarb, believe it or not, which is exceptionally early, but again, I'm not complaining. I just harvested one stick just to test it, and it was a bit on the tart side, but rhubarb is. So I think I'm about there really with what I've been doing at the allotment. But as I say, now it's a case of keeping on top of the weeds, clearing all the weeds and the slugs and snails. Of which I'm going to talk about slugs and snails actually now. Okay, slugs and snails, which I think is probably every gardener's worst annoyance every single year. So what I'm going to do is just talk about how I keep on top, try and combat them. Now this is what I do. It may not be correct, but it's what I find works. The first thing and the easiest thing is, of course, slug pellets. Now, I do use those. I go for the organic ones. And I scatter those around everywhere. And they do work. Even the non-organic ones are meant to be okay, but I'm not sure. Even so, they work. And I think most gardeners will swear by them. So, yeah. One of the other things I like to do is old grapefruit skin or orange skin. Just leave those upturned in the garden overnight. In the morning, it'll be full of slugs and snails, and I then pop those somewhere for the birds. That really does work as well, but it does involve effort from myself. And another trap method I use is just some pots sunk in the ground with beer or cider poured into them. Again, the slugs and snails come along, and because they're yeasty, they can smell them and they quite like them. I go into the pots, they'll have a drink, and they'll get drunk and they won't be able to climb back out, basically. Now, they could die in there, but again, I like to leave it somewhere for the birds to get them and never have an eat on them. Again, that takes effort. It's a daily grind. But it does work. Now, the last method that I use, and I have to say this is my favourite, but it does have drawbacks, and this is quite simply, I feed the birds. Now it'll be something like rice or bran. I just put out in the garden or the allotment, and the birds will come in and eat this, and then it'll eat slugs and snails as well at the same time. Which is quite a natural spree, a natural way of doing it, and it feeds birds. It works. I can't say it doesn't work. But it does involve effort again. Not a huge amount of effort, really, but it does. But I mean, okay, up the allotment in the same sort of area, we've obviously built a nature pond and a wildlife area, which does encourage toads and things. So, and they eat slugs and snails and even hedgehogs, but I haven't seen any of these. I'm sure they will turn up, but we will see. I think slow worms are also quite good at eating slugs and snails as well, so they're worth encouraging. Other methods that personally I haven't done, but I do quite like the idea of. One is the nematodes. Now these are microscopic creatures that naturally eat on slugs and snails anyway. And you buy a packet, you pour it in your watering can, and you water the soil with these. And these, they're like earworms almost type things. Go around the soil, they kill the slugs and snails off. And then when the slugs and snails are, there's not enough to sustain the nematodes, they die off. So again, it's quite a natural process, but it does work. From what I've read, I don't actually know anybody who's done it though. One of the other ways that many gardeners I know do, I personally don't because I'm lazy in this sense. They go out with a torch after dark, with a bucket of salted water, and any slugs or snails they find go in this bucket of water and die. It's gruesome, it's effort, but again, it does work, and you do it regularly enough and early enough, you'll get no slugs or snails. Now, I like to start doing this in sort of mid-March. All my methods, I start doing about mid-March. More the poisoning the pellets that early, just as they're starting to sort of spring into life as the weather's warming up. I like to beat them. And that stops them, the bigger ones, laying eggs and getting more. Sorry about that, I just had to take that phone call that came through. Sister's broken a kitchen equipment and is in desperate need of one. So where was I? Yeah, as I say, I find, you know, starting these mid-March and stopping them sooner rather than later works. And that goes on forever. I'd like to try the nematodes one day. It's just a lot of money, but I will do it one day. It'll probably be next year, to be honest. Okay, so I think I'm about there today. I'm going to wrap up. Thanks for listening again. Please do go visit the website, veggrowerpodcast.co.uk. I've actually just updated the header and a few other things on there, so it's coming along. The Veg Grower Podcast is all one word. And that's about it. So thanks for listening.